Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. It would sleep and rise night and day. The seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain is ripe," he also said, "with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
A colleague of mine posted on Facebook just yesterday evening that this year, this is the only Sunday in which we hear Jesus deliver a parable, which is interesting. It's just one of those quirks of the lectionary when we read from Mark. I have to say, I'm always amused by the last sentence of this passage, that Jesus explained everything privately to his disciples. Although if you read Mark as a whole, you discover that explanation didn't help at all. Just didn't get through. Someone at the 8 o'clock this morning asked, "What is a parable?" What is a parable? Well, it's a story, of course. It's also a bit of an exaggeration. Jesus tells the story of the mustard seed, though he's talking about something very tiny. He's not talking about those things you use in salad dressing. He's talking about seeds. Wild mustard in the Near East is as fine as dust, the seed. Remember that very vividly portrayed when we were guests at a service at St. Andrew's Cathedral in Honolulu, and the dean passed around a bag of wild mustard seed he picked up while touring the Holy Land. And that sense of something very tiny growing into something substantial is important. Although Jesus does exaggerate on the other side of things, he says it's the greatest of all trees or shrubs. Well, you know, mustard is still a shrub at the end of the day. But this is how parables work. They kind of stretch reality just enough to get us to think. And Jesus is talking to a people who are largely illiterate, and he needs to tell a story to them that will stick in their minds, and he needs to use examples that they will recognize, like seeds and soil and planting. If we listen to many of Jesus' parables about what he calls the kingdom, we hear him often using small examples. Can you think of any other parables about small things? The coin, the lost coin. Remember that story where the woman sweeps her house and she finds the coin, and then she gets all her neighbors together and they have a party because she found the coin. Any other examples? The pearl of great price, right? And sometimes there are parables about a few things, like the parable of the lost sheep, right? And leaving the 99 behind and going and finding the lost sheep and bringing it back with joy. Jesus stands, as we hear today, in a very deep tradition, the tradition of his ancestors, which were all about people who were small, quite frankly. The people of God in the ancient Near East were a small group. They were not a great nation. They were a small group planted among great empires that spanned the millennia. And yet they were chosen by God. And this story comes up over and over and over again in the Hebrew Scriptures. There's a recapitulation in that reading today from Samuel of the story about Joseph, who, if you remember the story, was the youngest of his brothers, and yet he was most beloved by his father, Jacob. And that made his brothers so jealous that they threw him into a pit. They almost killed him. And yet he became one of the greatest in his family because he saved the family from famine and eventually gave a home to what would become God's covenant people. Likewise, today we have this story in the book of Samuel that is given to us by way of contrast, even within the book. Saul, you see, when he was chosen, was taller than everybody else, literally head and shoulders above the rest. He was a physically imposing presence. And so Samuel is not just sort of making things up when he first goes to the eldest of Jesse's sons. He's assuming that God is going to follow that pattern. Even though God has said, I'm done with Saul. Unfortunately, Saul hasn't gotten the memo yet, but that's more story for a later time. But you notice in the story that he goes through all of the brothers until he gets to the end. And then he says, is there anybody else? And Jesse has thought David did not count for much at all because he didn't even get to come and meet the great prophet. Instead, he was put out to pasture, you might say, to look over the sheep. And yes, this is David as a child, a small one, because in just a few chapters, we have the famous confrontation between David and the great Philistine, Goliath. You see the pattern. The small people, the small things are what matter the most. This week, we are remembering the 129th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation finally reaching the slaves in Galveston, Texas. And yesterday at the Juneteenth celebration at St. Paul's, Oakland, our new bishop, Bishop Austin, gave a rousing sermon about the incredible importance of us to recognize that indeed we have a long way to go, even after 129 years, to bring about justice and wholeness for everyone who was caught up in the violence of chattel slavery, even all those generations ago. And yet he said the way we go about doing that is not by great and mighty acts, banner headlines, but it is in the small things that we do to build community together and to bear witness to the love, justice, peace, and compassion of our God. And most of that work, like 99.9% of that work, happens amongst the little people like us, amongst small actions of compassion and witness and mercy and kindness. Jesus wants us to understand that the kingdom of God, that is, the beloved community as it has been brought to us through various theologians of the last century, including Martin Luther King Jr., the beloved community is built of small actions. and small steps, and things that are often hidden from view by the great powers of the world. Your Christian faith and life and witness will not often, if at all, make headlines. That is to be expected. That is, Jesus might say, the gift of the Spirit. The beloved community, Jesus is pointing out to us, has always been under threat from the very beginning, and for that reason alone, it remains hidden from the world of power and influence. It is always at work in those quiet conversations you have with your loved ones and your neighbors, with the even quieter decisions that you make in a moment-to-moment basis about what you are going to do today that will be kind, compassionate, just, hopeful. That is where what Jesus calls the kingdom always begins and always has new life. And it is where we plant seeds, even as tiny as mustard seeds. How they grow, Jesus tells us, nobody knows. But that led me to reflect this week that even with all of our scientific advancement and knowledge and research, no one can tell us how life emerged from non-life. Botanists can tell us today all of the molecular things that happen in seeds when they go to earth and they begin to germinate, and they can document it, but how exactly it happens and why it happens, still to this day, no one knows. That is in God's hands. And that is how the beloved community is. How it grows, no one knows. But our job is to bring our small actions and deeds prayerfully into this life for the sake of others. And by so many of those actions built up over time, our ancestors changed the world, freed slaves, brought justice, compassion, mercy, and dignity to those whom the world declared the least among us. And that is still our task, even now and going forward. Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.